I like being able to fire people.
The good news is you're fired.
You're fired.
You're fired.
You're fired.
You're fired.
I know why jobs come and why they go.
Go, you're fired.
You're fired.
You're fired.
I'm going to need your keycard.
I know how jobs are created and how jobs are lost.
Biggie, you are fired. You are fired. Biggie, you are fired. Fired.
I understand how jobs come and how jobs go.
You're fired.
I like being able to fire people.
Oh, baby, what's up, everybody? Somebody's getting fired on that Eagles medical staff, right? Welcome in, Locked On Eagles. Lee DiBiase joining you on this Thursday edition of the show. Apparently, Carson Wentz has had this back injury pretty much all season, right? Since October, at least. You know, when he came back against the Colts, he didn't have the injury, but he definitely suffered this during the season. And it's probably been the same. I mean, it wasn't just ever back soreness. And we're just learning now that Carson Wentz is not going to play against the Rams. It's going to be Nick Foles in a big Sunday night matchup to try to stay in contention for a wild card spot in the playoffs, which is all we have pretty much at this point, unless the Cowboys collapse. Last week was that opportunity, and you didn't beat Dallas. But it's not going to be Carson Wentz, and it might not be Carson Wentz for the rest of the season because of a potential fracture in Wentz's back. And this is just another storyline in what has been a tire fire of a 2018 season for the Eagles medical staff. Check that, basically for the 2018 Philadelphia Eagles. I want to take this team, I want to take the medical staff, just of 2018, I want to shoot it into the sun, and I never want to talk about it again. Because this is the perfect icing on the cake for what has been a miserable season when it comes to the health of this Eagles team. And of course, it's got to be the franchise quarterback that's the last real big one, right? The Eagles medical staff, a new one this year, has been under fire pretty much all season long because of all the injuries. Right? You think Mike Wallace, IR, Mac Hollins, Jay Ajayi, now Corey Clement. Jason Peters has been banged up this year. Lane Johnson was banged up this year. Carson Wentz missed the first two games. Rodney McLeod, out. Nick Jordan Hicks, out. Nigel Bradham, broken thumb. Entire secondary has been hurt this season. Derek Barnett, injured. Brandon Graham at the start of the season. Forgot about Alshon Jeffrey. It has been, the Eagles have had the greatest injured team of all time, right? When you look at their IR team, that could potentially compete for a playoff spot with some of the talent that they have on that. And not all of it's on the Eagles medical staff, but it is finally time for me to start asking questions. And you're seeing that with Eagles Twitter now. There is some outrage after this Wentz news. And we're going to have next segment to kind of talk about Wentz's injury, talk about how the Eagles medical staff, while maybe they didn't miss it, they misdiagnosed it, because I was seeing from him that maybe they should have used an MRI instead of a CT scan. And again, I'm no medical expert, so I'm not going to, you know, go on my ivory tower and totally judge the Eagles medical staff for things that I don't know about, but it's pretty clear there's something going on, right? There's got to be something going on. And to me, my advice to Eagles players out there, go get a second opinion. And that's kind of what's happening right now. Carson Wentz is going to seek a second opinion outside of the Eagles medical staff. And I think that's a good idea. I mean, their own team doctor doesn't travel with them. Something is up. And it's not right. And it's not making me feel very good. Because it wasn't just this Wentz injury. The Jay Ajayi injury. How do you not know that he's playing on a torn ACL? Right? Jalen Mills was week to week, and then it almost looked like maybe he's coming back for the Monday night game against Washington, and then he's put on IR. Darren Sproles as well. I know Darren Sproles is an older player, but it looked like a hamstring injury that Doug Peterson didn't think was all that serious, and then suddenly he misses, after week one, he misses all of the season up until last week. Or a couple weeks ago against Washington, he finally came back. He missed the majority of the season. And there's no wonder Sidney Jones hasn't fully recovered. Right? I don't know what they're doing. Are they doing a rain dance around his leg? I mean, what is happening with Sidney Jones? That I know the hamstring injuries linger. I was the one that said it this week, that they linger all season long. But he's coming off a soft tissue injury with his torn Achilles coming out of Washington a couple of years ago. He misses all of last year, finally plays this year. He gets hurt after six starts, right? It's the hamstring injury. He comes back against the Saints immediately gets hurt again, comes back, plays a full game against the Redskins, and then gets hurt again against Dallas. And I don't know if it's on the medical staff, but it's alarming to see situations like that happen with Sidney Jones. And even if it's they're not the reason the injuries are happening, do we have confidence in this medical staff to get Sidney Jones right, to get Carson Wentz right? I don't know, and it's concerning. It really is. And why was Doug Peterson, if they knew about this back injury, that apparently they've known that Wentz has had some sort of back issue for a while, considering they had multiple CT scans done on him, if you knew this was an issue, then why are you dialing up read option plays against Dallas last week for Carson Wentz, who kept both of them, to run that football? When clearly his mobility is not what it was, and I don't know if it's because of the leg, I don't know if it's because of the back, we're going to ask Dr. Randon Hall, who again, he joined us in the summer to talk about Carson Wentz's ACL injury. We're going to get his insight on the back, so we're going to get a better expert on this, because I am nowhere near an expert when it comes to medical stuff for football, or medical stuff in general. I'm one of the queasiest people you'll ever meet. Can't even do shots, so this isn't my forte, but man, I don't know what's up with this Eagles medical team, but there's something up. Jordan Matthews even said it when he left, that they misdiagnosed him in 2016 after he was traded. So there's something going on. And I don't know what it is, but this is it's alarming. And it's part of why I'm concerned about Carson Wentz maybe coming back. Do we trust that these are the guys to say, when I don't think they knew that Jay Ajayi had torn his ACL? I mean, Carson Wentz last year, when he took that hit against the Rams, he was out after. It was clear something was wrong and he was done. They knew that something happened. Jay Ajayi kept playing after apparently tearing his ACL this year. So are they going to know when something's up with Carson Wentz this year that, we should probably pull him? I don't know. I'm very concerned. And it's not my forte. One thing I'll tell you what I do feel good about is that Carson Wentz's struggles this year, when he has struggled, probably has to do with this back injury. The missing routine throws, some screen passes. He's been inaccurate at times the past couple weeks. It seems like that, you know, not being as bold, you don't see the confidence in him this year, not running nearly as much as last year, even early on this year against the Colts, right? I keep thinking back to that game because he looked like he was back to full strength against the Colts, and as the weeks went on, he slowly just stopped moving around in the pocket. We saw it a little bit against the Redskins, but even there, you didn't see the explosion. You didn't see the speed. Maybe this back injury explains that, which is, I think, a good thing, because it shows that the ACL injury isn't something that's going to hold him back long term. That if it really is the back injury, that, okay, we can deal with that. I think that's a good thing. And I also think it makes critics this week of Carson Wentz look really dumb. Some of you guys out there, I'm sorry, you don't deserve Carson Wentz. The Foles stands out there. The people that have created these, every week it's been a different Carson Wentz narrative. With this back injury, it kind of explains a lot. And despite this injury, you know, the extremists have really taken it to a new level with the Carson Wentz bashing this year. Considering he was 9 months in to rehabbing a torn ACL, which a lot of the time to fully heal takes about a year. With that injury, and apparently dealing with a nagging back injury, you guys know, I don't know if any of you out there have suffered from back pain. Imagine trying to heal from a back fracture, having 300-pound guys hitting you. That, with an Eagles offensive line that's been suspect, right? He's made up for that. He's had no run game this year whatsoever. Bad coaching a lot of the time. With a bad back and a bad leg, and he still posted numbers that are, you know, if I didn't tell you who posted this stat line and I read you Carson Wentz's numbers, you would say that's a starting quarterback. Considering he has numbers that are pretty much just as good as Jared Goff's, who is the golden child this year in the NFL outside of Patrick Mahomes. Jared Goff and Sean McVay and the Rams, they're one of the best teams in the NFC, and you know, you look at it, Goff seems like he's having an amazing season. You look at Carson Wentz, he's got a higher completion percentage. He's got a better touchdown to interception ratio, a higher passer rating. 69% completion percentage, 69.6. He's almost at 70%. 3,074 passing yards, 21 touchdowns and 7 picks. That's with, first off, missing two games in the start of the season. That's with a leg injury that's not fully healed and a bad back. If anything, Carson Wentz this year has proven to me more that he is going to be elite in the NFL, that he already is, that he is a star, the face of the franchise, that I have no doubt that he's going to be that guy, that I'm okay with giving him the contract. And we're going to get into the injury-prone label that's been thrown out irresponsibly this week about Carson Wentz. We're going to get into that in the third segment, and I'm going to ask Randon Hall about it, because I don't think that's true either. I don't think you need to be concerned at all about Carson Wentz being the guy. I think the critics look really bad this week because there were some flaming takes. To see Carson Wentz do what he did in the fourth quarter against the Cowboys last week with this injury, to see what he did against Washington, against Jacksonville, where he really actually was moving around, sticking in the pocket, making some big throws. It's unbelievable. What a tough SOB. I'm telling you, man, this is something, hearing about this back injury now, it makes me like Carson Wentz that much more. It really does. Let's get into now our interview with Dr. Randon Hall of theinjurysource.com. Follow him on Twitter at theinjurysource. I want to get some details about this injury. Could Wentz potentially return this year? Should he return this year? Maybe the Eagles are in the playoff hunt. Maybe Nick Foles gets you into the playoffs. Should we bring Carson Wentz back for the postseason? Some interesting questions. We're going to get into it all with Dr. Randon Hall next, right here on the Locked On Eagles podcast. This episode of Locked On Eagles is sponsored by Action Heat. Action Heat makes the world's best battery-heated clothing. Heat on demand at the touch of a button. Control your environment with Action Heat. Action Heat clothing is engineered to safely and efficiently deliver heat via heating panels similar to a heated car seat. They can reach temperatures up to 135 degrees and are powered by rechargeable 5-volt lithium-ion batteries that last up to 12 hours on each charge. Action Heat batteries can also be used to recharge your phone or any other gadget while you're wearing them. Perfect for any friend or family member on your holiday gift list. Great for anyone who works outdoors, skiers, snowboarders, or anybody that really loves the outdoors or hates being cold. Action Heat clothing provides toasty warmth and comfort for your whole body, including heated jackets, socks, gloves, hats, and even undergarments like heated base layer shirts and long johns. You can stay warm and cozy from head to toe with Action Heat, heated products that fit everyone's budget starting at just $39.99. We've got a special deal for our Locked On Eagles listeners to save 20% off your entire order. Just go to actionheat.com/lockedon. That's actionheat.com/lockedon to check out everything Action Heat has to offer. That's actionheat.com/lockedon and use the promo code LOCKEDON at checkout to save 20% off. Stay toasty warm while you enjoy all your outdoor activities this winter with Action Heat. And we thank them for sponsoring the Locked On Eagles podcast today. So this Sunday, the Eagles kind of have a pretty big showdown with the Los Angeles Rams in L.A., a battle that with the Eagles, a win could get them right back into the playoff picture, and it could also go a long way for you to win huge cash prizes with DraftKings. That's right, DraftKings. Single-game fantasy football is the newest way to play at DraftKings, the leader in one-day fantasy football. If you've been thinking about trying DraftKings, now is the time. They've taken fantasy football from just 1 week to just one game, making it even easier to draft your lineup. All you have to do is draft 6 players from this game between the Eagles and the Rams. You got one captain and 5 other players. Your captain's going to earn 1.5 times the amount of points as your other 5 players. So maybe you want to go for value with like a Nelson Aguilar or Golden Tate, or maybe you want to go with the guy you know is going to produce, Zach Ertz, or go for gold with that former Super Bowl MVP, Nick Foles. It's that simple. 6 players from 1 game. Just stay under the salary cap and see how your team stacks up against the competition. Go to DraftKings.com or download the app now. Use the code LOCKEDON, that's LOCKEDON, no spaces, to enter a single game fantasy football contest for free this week with your first deposit and compete for your share of over $1 million in total prizes. That's code LOCKEDON. Only at DraftKings, the game inside the game, a minimum of $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. We're going to tweet out the links of those leagues for the Sunday night game. Also for Monday night, we're going to do it next weekend. We did it for Thursday night football today and on Monday night. So if you took part of those, hopefully you got some cash prizes, and we hope you participate. with us on Sunday Night Football. So make sure you follow our Twitter accounts at LockedOnBirds, at DiBiaseLOE, and at Gino_LOE for those links. We thank DraftKings for sponsoring the Locked On Eagles podcast today. All right, everybody, welcome back to Locked On Eagles Segment 2. Host Louis DiBiase joining you once again, as always, and I'm joined today by Dr. Randon Hall of The Injury Source. You can follow him on Twitter, at The Injury Source. And Dr. Randon, thank you for joining the show. You were on in the summer talking about Carson Wentz when he was coming back from that ACL injury. We're kind of talking about when he could potentially come back, when he would not be as restricted, stuff like that. And now we're seeing with Carson Wentz, he has a back injury that is likely going to keep him out not only against the Rams this Sunday night, but potentially for the rest of the season. I just want to ask you real quick, just to kind of give a brief description of what this injury is, what it could be, what's the severity of it? What should Eagles fans be looking at right here with this Carson Wentz back injury?
Yeah, I think the details are pretty vague because a vertebrae fracture, that's a pretty vague diagnosis. There's multiple parts to each vertebrae. So in my opinion, I think that an injury that really wasn't severe enough at the time, back week 8, week 7, to keep him out. I think there's a couple of things you can take off the list, but on the list for me, I think you always got to consider a stress fracture in a player that's, you know, extending his back routinely. That certainly could be something you see. In my opinion, that's what it seems more likely, because it's something that they were trying to follow week by week to see if anything would change on the imaging. On the other hand, if it was more of a traumatic, a one-time, he took a hit, you can have a transverse process fracture, a spinous process fracture. Another option is just a compression fracture. All of those are really not directly involving the spinal cord, so they're usually just like any other fracture. They should heal up pretty quickly and should not be an issue. If you remember, I believe Cam Newton had a transverse process back in 14. And I think maybe Ajay had one earlier this year, or one of the running backs did. And I think so they should heal up quickly. I think if it's more a significant compression fracture or a stress fracture, that's what's more concerning. They all should heal without surgery, but just the length of time changes significantly.
So we should be hoping that it's not a stress fracture.
In my opinion, yes, because for me, I tend to see a lot of these in gymnasts who are doing a lot of back extension. Those, you know, typically, you know, they're shut down for a good, 6 weeks to 3 months in terms of just taking the pressure off of their back. Now, a quarterback may not have as much back extension as some of the other athletes, but certainly something that can easily flare back up if it's not allowed to heal all the way.
I was going to say, so even if this is healed all the way, is this something that some players are more susceptible to than others? You know, once you have one of these injuries, are you more prone to, kind of like soft tissue injuries, are you more prone to have these injuries down the road?
You know, I think that it really depends, and not to get too much into the weeds here, but the stress fractures, there's an injury where it's just edema swelling within the bone and no clear fracture line, but that could still be considered a stress fracture. The next thing is, hey, there's a fracture line, but the bone hasn't shifted out of place. And then the last would be there's a fracture line and the bone is shifted. So to me, if you have a fracture line and there's some shifting, those don't really heal back like your typical wrist fracture where you can see all this callus and calcium and new bone. It's more, hey, there's some fibrous tissue there that's made it not be painful and definitely can cause some issues in the future. But I would not say, you know, where this is going to be prone to. I think, you know, with his position, it shouldn't be an issue. But some of the other, linemen who are bending down and having to come back up, certainly, you know, could exacerbate that type of injury over time.
So with the Eagles, they play the Rams this weekend, and, you know, at 6-7, they can actually surprisingly get right back into the playoff hunt with a win if Nick Foles leads them to that on Sunday Night Football. They get to 7-7 because the Vikings right now in the wild card spot are 6-6-1 in that final 6 seed. So with that, Carson Wentz might want to come right back. And this is something that's interesting with the Eagles, how they weigh this is, oh, if they do find a way in the playoffs, can Carson Wentz go? Should they put him in that position because he is the long-term future, regardless of what crazy Nick Foles fans wants to think? Do you think it's safe, depending on, of course, if it's a stress fracture, it'd be different, but do you think regardless of what the injury is it a bad idea to play him at all for the rest of the season?
You know, I think if it's one of those other where I talked about compression, a spinous process or a transverse process, I think if it's one of those, I don't see any issue with him returning based on pain, basically.
Okay.
You know, the stress fracture one is, I would say, very controversial. So, you know, you could say, hey, you can keep trying to fight through this and then just let it heal by the end. You know, once you stop being active and in the off season, let it heal. There's plenty of people who are playing, you know, I see people in clinic all the time. Hey, I've had back pain for 6 months and it's been a stress fracture. So they've been playing through it. So it's possible. But to me, it sounds like it's just gotten to the point where he just can't do what he needs to do. So, I mean, I think it's possible to let him do it. Theoretically, it's safe, but I think it is a big risk because, you know, you potentially take something that's 6 weeks healing and make it 3 months or 6 months.
Right. And this is a very important offseason for Carson Wentz. So if he has to deal with, you know, another injury to rehab throughout the offseason, like you said, if it becomes a month, couple month long process, that's tough for Wentz because he badly needs this offseason, not only because of the back, but because of the leg injury as well. Because even you were talking about in the summer how, you know, this ACL injury is more so, you know, you can come back in 9 months, but the longer that you rehab this injury, the better it gets. So, you know, 12 months, like right now we're coming up on the exact year that Carson Wentz tore his ACL. Do you think it maybe explains why he's maybe missed some of the routine throws and he's not running around as much in the pocket? Because that's what we're used to with Carson Wentz. And really, since, you even look back to week 3 this year against the Colts, he was moving around that first game he came back. But as the season's progressed, probably since maybe he suffered this back injury, it seemed like he has been more and more dependent on the pocket. Does this maybe explain that?
I think it absolutely explains it. I think the back more so explains some of the things we're seeing on the field over the knee. You know, don't get me wrong. I mean, I think that the knee certainly, you know, could have some effects. But, you know, typically at this level, either they're good or they're not, you know, in regards to the knee. I think that the back, you know, that's just a nagging, irritating, you know, take a hit, starts to aggravate it type injury.
Right.
So I think that could explain it, you know, more so than the knee, although we haven't heard any reports of the knee actually bothering him per se. But I think I would go with back pain causing some of the issues on the field, or not necessarily issues, but some of the aberrancies we're seeing, over him just not being as confident on his knee.
I was going to say confidence has been a big thing. I just have not seen that oozing confidence on the field for him, that he has that confidence in the full, you know, capabilities of what he can do with his leg and with his body. And I want to ask you real quick before we get on to that, I want to talk about the medical staff that the Eagles have this year. But first, with Wentz and that leg injury, because like you said, a lot of what could be prohibiting him from running the football or being more willing to run the football in the past couple months could be the back injury, which is probably very likely. But when he has run, you have seen he's been slower, and that should come with the leg healing. But is that something that speed he had in 2017, is he ever going to fully get that back?
Yeah, I got to think that that's got to be less from the knee and more to the back, because,
okay,
you know, we just don't see that. We don't see people that return full clearance, you know, ACL, whether it's 6 months, 9 months, a year, and say, man, this dude's really lost a step. You know, I think speed, you know, certainly can be altered, but I really would favor this more being back related.
That makes me feel a lot better, truthfully.
Leg. Yeah, no, I do too, because I think he should really be, you know, the quarterback that we all hope that he can be. And I'm not really buying into this kind of prone to injury. I think it's the
same
NFL.
Yeah.
People get hurt. You know, I think what we're seeing is just, you know, part of the game.
I was going to say, I mean, this injury-prone stuff, I do want to get your take on that, because a lot of people are saying, you know, each year he sustained certain injuries, and, you know, he keeps showing up on the injury report each year. But you look at the injuries he's had, he hit his wrist on a helmet, you know, he had a hairline fracture in his rib, then, of course, the ACL and LCL injury, but now this back injury. I don't know if you agree with me, I don't feel like a lot of these injuries show something that can make him susceptible to more injuries down the road, kind of like, you know, a Sam Bradford, or even with the Eagles, Sidney Jones, whereas when you have one of those leg injuries, and, you know, now Sidney Jones is dealing with a hamstring injury, don't you agree where Wentz's injuries more so, they don't really show a repetitive pattern that could worry the Eagles down the road when we're talking about giving him a contract extension?
I personally don't. I mean, I think, look at, like, you know, they put out, what was it, Brent Celek, all the injuries that he had, mm-hmm. And he played through. It was also, you know, Brett Favre, they put out all the injuries that he played. I mean, people get hurt, and, you know, it just so happens that he hits his wrist. I mean, that's not a prone to injury type of thing. That's just a bad luck type of thing. You know, I think it's not, I would not put that tag on him, or really, you know, I don't like that tag for anybody, but, you know, you tend to do see some guys out there that you're like, man, they're always hurt. But, you know, I think that this is not the case.
That makes me feel better for sure. Let me ask you, let's move on to this Eagles medical staff. Was it understandable that, because apparently this has been, I mean, the back injury actually came up on an injury report earlier in the season with Carson Wentz. Was it understandable that it's went this long without them realizing what was wrong with his back? They had multiple CT scans. They couldn't see the fracture. Is it understandable for this medical staff that we're just now learning that Wentz has been dealing with this back injury to the severity of it right now? Although it's not crazy serious, it's still more so than back soreness, which is what Doug Peterson labeled it in his press conference on Wednesday. Is it understandable that they maybe missed this?
You know, I want to first, you know, just make sure. I definitely don't want to sit here and try to second guess somebody in terms of their medical knowledge. But I do think that, thinking about it logically, to me, if you have an individual that's complaining of back pain, this is NFL, high school, whatever. If I'm going to evaluate that patient, I typically, if they have had no trauma, or even if they have had trauma, I am going to say, let's start with an MRI. The reason that would be is MRIs do not have radiation, so you don't radiate the patient. Two, they're much more sensitive to picking up small, subtle injuries to the bone, and you can see soft tissue, muscle, whatever it may be. Whereas a CT scan, that's very good at looking at bone and characterizing a fracture that you already know is there or is a significant fracture, whereas you don't get any soft tissue picked up. So I just can't understand why they would keep repeating a CT scan. One, that's radiation every CT scan. Two, it's just not as sensitive. If you don't see it there, then you want to change your study to see, hey, can I do a bone scan? Can I do an MRI? Something to be a little bit more sensitive to picking this up. So yes, I think if I had a patient who had a stress fracture in their spine and I kept doing CT scans every week, I wouldn't see it. I think that's very plausible not to see, but I would have stopped after the first one and gotten an MRI, you know, bearing, I don't know what all, you know, happened and what all discussions went on. You know, I don't want to second guess them in that way, but generally speaking, I think that an MRI really would be warranted much earlier on to try to see something. Now, what you can eventually see with the CT scan is, hey, we're now seeing, we never saw the fracture, but we're now seeing calcium and new bone in a certain area. That indicates that there is a fracture there, or a fracture line that's gotten worse that didn't show up originally. So I don't think it's a so much missed it. I think they diagnosed based on the information that they saw, but I'm just not sure why they didn't get different information.
Very interesting stuff. Dr. Randon Hall joining us from The Injury Source. You can follow him on Twitter at The Injury Source. Let me ask you one more question before I let you go with Wentz, because we kind of talked, there was some speculation on Twitter for, of course, non-medical people that really don't know as much as, you know, people like you, of course, that studied it, that maybe speculated that Wentz, this back injury was coming from, you know, overcompensating for the leg, whereas you kind of said it more so happens vice versa. With that, should we be concerned that this back injury has maybe had him rely more so? I mean, could this injury have hurt maybe his ACL rehab and how that's healing?
You know, I don't really think so. I mean, okay. I think that the ACL is totally separate, and I think, to me, in terms of him, the strength of the knee and the strength of the leg and speed, I think that'll get there. I just think the back, you know, either was a traumatic injury from a tackle or just something to do with overuse and repetitive injury. I just can't see the ACL playing a role in that. We just don't see that in clinic, Louie. We don't see people coming in saying, hey, I tore my ACL, rehabbed, and now my back starts to hurt. That's just not something we see.
Interesting. Thank you very much, Dr. Randon Hull, for joining us on today's Locked On Eagles podcast. Again, follow him on Twitter. Really good stuff at The Injury Source, and check him out at theinjurysource.com. Doctor, thank you for joining us. Always appreciate your insight. You were a lot of help in the summer, and once again, some very insightful stuff for Eagles fans out there to really get a better understanding of what we're looking at with this Carson Wentz injury. Because again, he's the face of the franchise, and you know, making sure his health long-term is right is the top priority for me, more so than, you know, competing for the playoffs this year and for a championship.
I definitely appreciate you having me on, Louie, and I'm the same way. I think the as goes Wentz, goes the Eagles.
Absolutely. Dr. Randon Hull joining us right here on the Locked On Eagles podcast. Welcome back, everybody, to Locked On Eagles, this Thursday edition, December 13th. Louie DiBiase joining you here. Thanks again to Dr. Randon Hull, MD of The Injury Source, for checking in on the podcast and giving us some insight about the Carson Wentz injury and some really interesting stuff. Even with a stress fracture, he doesn't think it's totally risky to be playing Wentz if the Eagles maybe win this game against the Rams and they're back in the playoff hunt. But look, I don't know. I feel like the most cautious approach possible is good for Carson Wentz, not only because now he's trying to nurse this back injury, but the ACL injury still. You know, the more time that he can heal that, the better off he's going to be, the more explosive he's going to be. And I feel a lot better, truthfully, because he said that the mobility issues, which is part of the reason I fell in love with Carson Wentz at North Dakota, why I wanted him over a guy like Jared Goff, is because of his ability to extend plays, that confidence that no play is ever done. And you haven't seen that explosion this year, and I was wondering, maybe it's just that the ACL is still coming along and, you know, he's lost some of his speed that he'll get back, but Randon Hull doesn't think that really has a lot to do with it, and the speed should be back when this back fully heals, which is awesome to hear. It really is, because I was kind of concerned. Man, you had to wonder what was going on from that Colts game. He came back, and you still saw him extending plays, breaking away from five different pass rushers to run for a first down or keep a play alive and throw for a first down. You saw that early on in the season, and then the more so the season went on week after week, it went away, and this back injury could be the reason for that. We brought up being injury prone, and this was a take that I want to address on Twitter this week that people were kind of throwing at Carson Wentz. There's a bunch of crazy narratives that people look, it's I understand the frustration with this Eagles season this year. And I understand that the quarterback is the face of the franchise. So ideally you're going to go after the head coach, the quarterback when things aren't going right. But a lot of people to me are doing it more so because of frustration with the entire team this year, and it's also a lot of it's clickbait, people, and you have to be careful with this. First, it was that Carson Wentz wasn't clutch this year, right? Then you saw Carson Wentz continuously grow in the fourth quarter as the year went on. We saw it last week against Dallas. We saw it against the Jaguars earlier in the season. We saw it against the Cowboys in the first game, the Giants game, that fourth quarter comeback. We have seen it with Carson Wentz this year. Then it was that, you know, he can't keep up with teams that score more than 26 points, right? And the stat was that he was, I think, 1-11 in games where the other team scores 26 plus. Well, you look at that stat, and really 8 of the losses came in his rookie season where he had nothing to work with. And then I pulled up the stat that in games where both teams score 21 plus, Carson Wentz has a winning record. And against teams that have a winning record in that same scenario, Carson Wentz has a winning record. So, and now it's injury prone. And I don't agree that he's an injury-prone player. It's not like this is a degenerative knee issue, right, with like Jay Ajayi or Sam Bradford, where this is going to continue to be an issue throughout his career. It's not the same injuries over and over again. You look at in college, he hit his wrist on a helmet. That's a fluke injury, right? Then people were using that first preseason game injury as a example of why he's injury prone. He had a hairline rib fracture, which literally everybody else probably would have suffered if you got hit the same way, you stick in the pocket, you're making a throw, and he missed the entire preseason. But truthfully, if that was a regular season game and the Eagles were still in it, say in the playoff picture like they are now, Carson Wentz probably plays that football game, and that doesn't open him to more injuries like that down the road. And that's, to me, what injury prone is. Even last year, of any of them, that's the most serious injury that could cause problems down the road. But even that injury, it was kind of a fluky hit. He got sandwiched in between two people because he was diving into the end zone to take the lead against one of the best teams in the NFC as the Eagles are trying to clinch the NFC East. They're trying to clinch a bye week and try to clinch home field advantage. So that's not, again, something that's him trying to make a big play. And then this year with the back issue, if the Eagles right now were 8-5, right, if Corey Graham stops the Titans on that 4th-and-19, if the Eagles make a play on 4th-and-12 against the Panthers and they win those two football games, and the Eagles are three games over 500 right now, Carson Wentz, like we just heard Dr. Randon Hall say, after a couple weeks, he's probably giving it a go this week against the Rams. If not, he's definitely coming back next week against the Houston Texans. So there's really only one injury that's been major when we're talking about Carson Wentz throughout his career, his playing career from the collegiate level to now. And for me to label him as injury-prone is just irresponsible. He's played in 40 of 45 games. He was on the verge of playing in a full 16-game season again last year before that crazy hit. And again this year now, I think if the Eagles were in a better position, the Eagles would be less cautious with Carson Wentz. They still should be cautious, but they wouldn't be to the level that they are now. So, and some people are saying, you know, they like to broaden it, right? They want to zoom out. They don't want you to. It's apparently, we're making excuses for him when we go into each example, each injury, and say, well, here's why I don't think the hairline rib fracture represents him being injury prone, or why the back injury, so on and so forth. We're apparently making up excuses where really what we're doing is we're going in detail, we're going by each example, and we're saying, okay, here's why I don't think this is valid for the argument. But people like to broaden it to fit a narrative that, oh, this is what they like to say is Carson Wentz has suffered four injuries back-to-back-to-back years, right? He's been on the injury report all 4 years, and he's missed time. And that's why he can't stay healthy, and he's injury-prone. And I just think that's irresponsible analysis when it comes to Carson Wentz. And we've kind of been dealing with that all season long. I'm not a Carson Wentz apologist. I just don't think the takes this year about Carson Wentz have been very good. I think they've been shots in the dark, and I think this is another one. That's going to do it for today's Locked On Eagles podcast. Again, thanks to Dr. Randon Hall of The Injury Source for joining us on the show today. Make sure you follow him on Twitter at The Injury Source. Follow all our accounts at Locked On Birds, at DiBiaseLOE, and at Gino_LOE. Gino and myself will be back tomorrow. We're going to get more into this. We're going to get into Nick Foles starting on Sunday night. Crazy Foles stands out there. We're going to address it. Goff versus Wentz, all that and more coming up a couple days away from a big showdown on Sunday Night Football between the Eagles and the Rams. Thanks for downloading. Thanks for listening. My name is Louis DiBiase, signing off. Thank you and have a good night.